Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as a testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, waiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, there be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, that no man should say you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should be made void. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren. There were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were the worst city in terms of sin known during this time, right? Their sinfulness, their debauchery. You know, it's interesting. Paul was actually in Corinth when he wrote the book of Romans. And a few of the scholars suggest that, you know, when he's making that whole appeal in Romans 1, you know, for a little while, he's actually looking outside of his window, you know, in Gaius's house, and he's watching just this debauchery, this homosexuality. He's watching all these things and inspires him to just to pen, you know, these things during that time. And so this would be like Las Vegas, you know, like Phuket. You know, parts of Phuket, you know, Wan Chai, you know what I mean? Like all the seediest places in the cities, and this was what Corinth was all about. And so, you know, he's writing this, and the structure for us is actually quite good, you know, because as he writes this, he's basically, you know, he's basically responding to a letter that was already sent to him. Right, so he's getting reports from people, you know, about what's going on in the church, and this letter is basically written to respond. It gets so bad, right, that what ends up happening is, you know, he actually wrote a few letters, and some of them got lost, or in particular, one got lost, though they'll make mention in the book. And so, you know, things were so bad, he wrote another letter. He didn't even wait for the letter to get there. He went there himself. And then when he got there, he realized that the letter that he had sent before, that not the one that was lost, but the one before, actually started working. people's lives started changing, and so, you know, kind of all is well. And then he kind of moved on to some other cities and whatnot. And so he founded the church in Corinth in his second missionary journey. And so, you know, in the book of Acts, we'll kind of highlight. And, you know, this is a bit different than some of the other cities he went to. And other cities, when he began to teach, and his primary mode, if you look through the scriptures, especially in Acts, you know, and you go through the letters, his primary mode was to convince people, right, that Jesus is the Messiah. And he'd always start at Moses, right, and then he'd continue on. And this seemed to be a pretty good formula for him, right? A pretty good strategy. But what ended up happening is, in other cities, very receptive. In Corinth, not very receptive at all, right? And so, you know, Paul became quite discouraged, you know. But then it was, if you remember, I think in Acts 18, I believe, right? You know, the Lord tells him, hey, I've got many people in this city, so be courageous, you know, and that kind of encourages him along the way. But that was all concerning this city of Corinth. Right, so you kind of get the background of what's going on here. Here's a few notes of the occasion of writing. Right, Paul's initial contact to visit was to preach the gospel. Right, Paul wrote a letter first that got lost. Right, and then all this disturbing news started coming, you know, and from the believers, you know, and they were requesting information. And so Paul basically wrote 1 Corinthians. That was the response. And so you'll notice a phrase, and because he's very orderly in Corinthians, you notice a phrase, and he says, now concerning. You know, you'll see this about 6-7 times in 1 Corinthians. And every time he says, now concerning, he's responding to the letter that was sent to him. Right, and so it's now concerning this. In other words, you ask the question about this, this is my answer. Well, you ask the question about this, this is my answer. Right, and he kind of continues on and on and on and on. You know, like I said, after after he wrote 1 Corinthians, right, the problems were not solved, and actually the situation got worse. And so he hurries and makes a visit there. You know, and then after this visit, Paul writes a third letter. You know, that's very, very severe. Right, and so which he refers to in 2 Corinthians 2:4, you know, again, you know, all these things are happening. He doesn't know what's going on. His anxiety about his church is so great that he goes there without even waiting for the letter. And then after he writes 2 Corinthians, and after his visit, he realized, right, that it was well, right. The letter had its effect. They were changed in some way. The one thing that you want to see is the emphasis of the book, right, is the emphasis on the lifestyle of the local church, right? And so in Corinthians, you'll have the great passage on the body of you know, you know, the body as the church. You know, you have the passage of love. You have the passage of spiritual gifts, you know, but spiritual gifts, you know, I shared this a few days ago, spiritual gifts have to do with the body. It doesn't have to do with the individual believer, right? And so he's always talking about the lifestyle of the church. How should a church behave? How should a church act? You know, how should a church, you know, be modeled, and how does it interact with each other, and how does it work, basically? And so that's why we can find great insight, you know, in this passage. And so the first thing that Paul begins to talk about, right, which is really the big issue in Corinth, is disunity. You know, it's different people rising up, and, you know, primarily it's probably the Judaizers, you know, and if you don't know what the term means, Judaizers are Jews, you know, that are trying to turn Gentiles into Jews, right? It's kind of like, forgive me, right, but it's kind of like Korean missions, right? You know, Koreans go on missions, they turn people into Koreans. You know, instead of contextualizing, but you can, no one here is Korean, so it doesn't matter, you know, and stuff. So, but, you know, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. And so they're causing dissension. They're causing disunity. In other words, they're taking pride in who they are. They're taking pride in their knowledge. They're taking pride in their heritage, you know, and it's causing disunity. You know, I went to Urbana years ago, and There was a special meeting for Asian Americans, you know, that InterVarsity Publishing was putting together, and there were like, you know, two or three key Asian American leaders that were there, and they started talking about this issue of disunity in their church, and I was kind of intrigued. And one guy stood up, he actually said something very interesting. You know, and he says, you know, one of the, because, you know, they are in a huge, like, college town. You know, it's basically a university church that kind of grew up. You know, and he was saying that they actually forbid people from wearing anything related to their university. You know, and, like, you can't come into their church and wear, like, your Harvard sweatshirt, you know, or, you know, like, Boston College or whatever. You can't talk about where you go to school or anything like that. Because when they found, over the few years of their church, they found that people actually created disunity. You know, it was like people aligned themselves by which college they went to. You know, and so like in our world, like in Hong Kong, that happens too, right? There's a social strata. You know, oh, you make a lot of money, you're in banking or something, you know, you're in this crowd, oh, you know, you do this, or you know what I mean? And it's so superficial. It's so, you know, like stupid, right? But that's how people operate. And in this university church, you know, they decided they're going to tackle this issue of disunity by just forbidding anyone to wear their school colors, basically, or talk about it. And I thought that was quite interesting. You know, they were quite intentional, you know, about unity, right? It's like, hey, I don't care if you belong here or there, or, you know, or whatnot. But it's this intentionality to make sure that there's nothing, we don't bring any barriers, right, that cause us not to be united. You know, and I sat there and I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting, you know. The other side is kind of, what's the big deal, right? I mean, it's just, you're just dealing with people's weaknesses, but, you know, going back to the Romans passage, right? You know, you that are mature, you that are spiritual, bear the weaknesses, you know, of others. And so he starts off, you know, in Corinthians 1, and he appeals to them, you know, about, you know, just his greetings, his hellos and whatnot. And then when he gets to verse 10, right, this is his main message, and he's going to carry this message through for the next, you know, until like chapter 4 or something, right? And he says, you know, I exhort you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, there be no divisions among you. You know, the word there, divisions, actually could be better translated as schisms. You know, there's no little groups that kind of go outside, right? You know, they make their own little huddle group, you know, during these times. Let there be no schisms, and that you may be complete, right, in the same mind, in the same judgment. And then he begins to tell these guys, look, man, there's Chloe's people. Notice, again, another woman that's a leader in the church, right? And so there are people, and they're telling me all these different things, and like, what's going on? And he's like, I can't believe some of you guys are saying, hey, I was baptized by Paul. Hey, I was baptized by Apollos. You know, hey, I was baptized by, you know, by Cephas is Peter, right? That's his name, right? You know, I was baptized by Peter, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, what, are you crazy? You know, I mean, what is this? Who cares who baptized you? That doesn't mean anything, right? And so, I mean, we read something like this, and we're saying, oh, man, how silly are they, right? But have you heard, hey, I'm evangelical. Hey, I'm charismatic. Hey, I'm Southern Baptist. You know, hey, I'm Reformed, you know, and et cetera. We wear the same tags as well. Let's not kid ourselves. You know what I mean? You know, many of us, we take great pride in our spiritual heritage. You know, and I mean, you should, right? I mean, it's a blessing from God, right? But there's no sense of pride there, right? I mean, whatever it is, it should not create division for us. You know what I mean? It should not be, you know, a big deal, you know, in that way and stuff. And, you know, and I was thinking about this morning. It's off topic, but I read an article that someone sent to me about walking, right, you know, and how good it is for your health and you'll prolong your life and stuff. So I've been walking a lot these days. And so I've been walking back and home from church, right? So I walked here to church, I'll walk home, and, you know, just trying to just, at least I know I'm going to do a 20-minute walk twice a day. So, you know, that's fine. But, you know, when you walk, compared to when you're sitting in a taxi, you think a lot more. You know, and I'm going to a prayer meeting after this, right? I have to actually go to Kowloon this time, and all the pastors are gathering together. And I remember having this conversation with some of them, and we're talking about, because I remember last year we did that Bible reading thing, you know, faith comes by hearing, you know, and then now, and so we're doing a different thing this year, doing a Lent devotional. But afterwards, we're doing a wrap-up session, and we're talking about, okay, how did it go? What can we do next year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and then, you know, I just floated the idea, hey, why don't we do something that's, you know, it's kind of like unifying, you know, do something that's, you know, as the whole church, right, you know, some kind of event. And I'm not saying this because I got shot down, right, but I got shot down, you know, and like four or five pastors, they were like, yeah, we can't do that. I said, why not? Oh, because then, you know, it's like the charismatics, you know, won't come if you have these people, and then the evangelicals won't come if you have this people, and then, you know, and if you did this, then it's going to be, you know, this crowd, and if you do this, it's going to be that crowd, right? And, you know, I don't know how it is in Hong Kong, right, and stuff, so, you know, I'm new to this whole, you know, bunch of churches and pastor kind of thing and stuff, but, you know, I mean, I walked away from the meeting feeling a bit sad. I was like, wow. You know, even though we were one in Christ, man, you know, because of our little, you know, kind of non-essential matters of theology, you know, we can't even get together. You know, I was like, wow, you know, God, you know, have mercy on Hong Kong, you know, in that way. I mean, just a simple thing, right? And, you know, last weekend was Bill Johnson, right? And so it's just all the charismatics showed up, right? All the crazy ones from all over Hong Kong. And it was kind of fun to see, right? And things, but it's like you have these camps, you know, and we look at something like 1 Corinthians, you know, and if you just really don't think through, you can look at something like that and just be like, oh man, what a bunch of idiots, you know, these people, God, why can't they just get their act together? Don't we know we're the body of Christ, et cetera, et cetera? You know, but in the same way, man, we fall in the same trap, you know, I mean, it's the same thing, right? You know, we need to learn to build bridges, you know, in that ways, and you know, and me too, right? I'm not saying that I'm beyond that. I mean, if I you know, for me in terms of like we're talking about a kindred spirit, right? You know, I get along much better with charismatic Pentecostal guys, you know. I mean, by far. Right, and it's just, you know, I don't know what it is. It doesn't like, I don't like evangelicals. I do like them as well. I mean, I consider myself one as well, you know, but there's just a kindredness there. But even that shouldn't get away from disunity, you know what I mean, and stuff. And so he's in this place, and I tell you, Paul, the guy is just so smart. You know, the way that he addresses problems, you know, the way he goes about it, it's like we think in this plane, you know, in these terms, and Paul's like up here, man. You know, and so he begins this whole thing, right, at verse 18. He said, the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. You know, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. You know why there's divisions? You know, basically comes down to, right, divisions arise because one group of people is saying, we got it. You don't have it. We have the truth. We have higher understanding. You know, we have revelation from God, right? And so, I mean, look at denominationalism, right? You know, it's like, no, we have the revelation. In fact, you don't sprinkle people, you dunk people. Right, and so we are set apart, right? And then, you know, then you have another group. No. We have the revelation of God, because it's not about elders, right? It's about instituting apostles and bishops and having this kind of church governance. Oh no. We have the revelation of God. You know, it's not about that. It's about the way you do the sacraments, and you know what I mean. And it's these little issues, but it's basically people that think that we have God's heart, we have God's will, we have, you know, God's purposes in the way that we are doing our things, you know. And Paul is his approach is, look, fellas, we're all foolish. you know what I mean? We can't take any credit for ourselves, right? You know, everything that we do here, you know, that we talk about, you know, where can we take our own credit from? You know, it is foolishness, you know, in the eyes of God. The wisdom of God, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, Right? And so you are relying on your own wisdom, and that wisdom throughout the ages have never brought anyone to the Lord. You know, and so why are you so fixated on those things? Right? And you know, and it continues on. It says, man, look, we preach Christ crucified. You know, I love this line in verse 23, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. You know, it is foolishness to believe in Christ, right? I mean, it goes beyond understanding, right? And it says, look, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, right? Just in case you thought, oh, okay, why am I listening to this foolishness? Oh, but let me give you another clue, right? The foolishness of God is actually wiser than men, and the weakness of God is actually stronger than men. And so you place your hope in that, not in anything else, right? And it says, look, why are you creating schisms? Don't you remember where you came from? You know, don't you remember what you're all about, right? It says, consider your calling, brothers. Listen, there's not too many wise among you. You know, there's not too many, you know, mighty. There's not many noble. But in fact, God chose you because you were foolish, right? God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame that which is strong. The base things of the world, the despised, God has chosen. The things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. Right? And he makes this plea, look, why are you taking so much pride in your revelation? Why are you taking so much pride in whatever is causing these schisms, you know, and this disunity? Man, God chose you because you're foolish. God chose you because you're nothing. Why do you make yourself out to be something now? You know, and that's really what it's about, right? We want to go above the grain, you know, we want to be more than, and so, you know, we need new revelation. Right, I don't know if I share this in EMP. I might have shared it in a staff meeting or something. Right, man. But I get really, really weary a lot of times. You know, when I hear people, you know, leaders and pastors, you know, that always feel like they need to bring a new revelation or something, right? Because it's usually a bit off, you know. And I feel like, man, just preach the gospel. The gospel's powerful, you know. And listen, right? I'll give you a little clue. Go through the Old Testament, right? Look at these prophets, you know, I mean, Isaiah, Jeremiah, you know, all these guys, and look at and read their prophecies. What are they saying? They're not saying anything new. They're saying, go back, don't sin anymore, cut that out. you know what I mean? Honor God. I mean, this is stuff all the way from Genesis. It's not so much new revelation. There may be a new means, you know, maybe a vision or something, but the message is the same, you know, and so. You know, let that be, you know, the church as well, right? We don't necessarily, you know, God is the one that's doing a new thing, right? And stuff, and just preach the gospel, right? Just preach the scriptures and watch what God does, you know, through all these things. And so, well, let's close our eyes before I keep going on more tangents. Right? Jesus Christ will go to war against anyone that brings disunity. All right, if we create any barrier for someone to know Jesus, he goes to war with. When that happens, you go against the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, you know, kind of similar to what we prayed yesterday, man, let's pray that truly, right, that it would be about the Lord. You know, unity, right, listen very carefully, unity is not horizontal. Unity is vertical. Unity does not mean that we agree with everybody, but what unity means is that we agree with Christ, right? And then we align ourselves to his purposes. You know, and you find when you do that, all the other stuff horizontally really doesn't matter all that much. You find that you can work through so many things because your purpose is with Christ. That's unity. And so let's pray for the unity of the Spirit in our lives, in the life of our church, in the life of the churches in Hong Kong and the people in Hong Kong. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we would be conduits of unity. That we would be people that embrace, right? Regardless of our ethnicity, our social stature, our job, our background, right? No matter where we come from, right? That we'd be people that create unity, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, we'd be people that don't create any stumbling blocks for anyone in any way. Right? Let's just really lift that up, and let's pray for the church as well. You know, that's where we get the word Solomon's porch from, right? It's the history in the scriptures, right? It's the only place where the Gentiles came to hear the gospel. And so it's the place where anyone can come. There's no barriers whatsoever. Let's pray that we would live up to our name that God has given to us. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's continue to pray for all of our ones, family going through cancer. Let's pray for those that have growths and going through chemotherapy. You know, good news, Leanne had a very successful operation yesterday, and they, you know, took out the growth or whatever it is. It's definitely not cancerous, right? And so now she just needs to recover, and they got to figure out, you know, what happened and whatnot. And so she's in the hospital for a few days and probably be in Singapore for, you know, another week and a half or so. Let's just continue to pray for her and her mom. And, you know, it's been a real blessing, you know, since we have so many SPRs in Singapore, right? And I wrote them an email this week and said, hey, you know, can you guys check in on Leanne? And those guys were awesome, right? All those guys, they're really going out of their way. You know, the Morels and the Ings and Aaron and, you know, I was thinking, wow, what a great community that we have. And so let's just continue to pray, right, for Leanne and the ones here on the list as well. Let's just lift up. Let's pray the ones that are sick, but more than that, they need to be saved. Let's pray for ones that have infirmities, and pray for our ones that are looking for work, that God would just really bring His favor over them. Let's lift up. Let's also pray for a few people in our community. Pete Chen emailed me yesterday, and he said that his daughter Anna, right, who's in Noah's Ark, went to the hospital. She's got some pain in her side or something. They quite not figured out what it is. And then Katie's heart rate went up again. And so let's just lift up their family right now before the Lord. It seems like there's getting a lot of attacks upon them. So let's pray. Thank you. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. And let's pray for Kenny in Japan. Some of you guys may know Kenny's been applying for a position in Hong Kong with Swire. And so I think the interview is done. Let's just really pray for favor, you know, for him in that way. Let's pray for Rachel in Thailand. I think she's making her way back to the States for a holiday and for some rest. Let's just pray for a fruitful time for her. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the persecuted church there and for Chris, and ask the Lord to continue to use him and his family to really make an impact in this area. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, for the nursery, for the youth and men's and women's ministry. Let's ask God to continue to bless all the volunteers, all the teachers. As we pray for our young ones, let's pray for our women that are pregnant. And let's ask God, His hand to continue to be extended to them. All right, let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Conduit Road, Kennedy, and PPHV. Let's ask God's hand to be with them, and just a real anointed time of worship, of fellowship, of the word and work. Let's ask for Holy Spirit to show up, and the presence of God would carry and lead the meeting while He uses the leaders. Let's pray. We thank you. We bless you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that your word has power, God, that that it's able to change and transforms people's lives, God, to, Lord, release, Father God, the strength to change behaviors, Lord. And we pray, God, as we go through Corinthians, Lord, that you would teach us, God, about the lifestyle of the church, Lord, that you would give us a love for your body, God, and it'll help us, allow us, God, to be agents of change, God, to be agents, Lord, that bring unity, God, not disunity. And so we ask that you'd speak to us through your text, God, and just lift up our friends, God, especially those that are sick, Lord, and going through different things, God. Even later on we'll read, God, that when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And help us, Lord, to truly be one, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.